Let's give the Lord a praise. He deserves it. Hallelujah. He is a good God. He is an awesome God. Father, we thank you so much. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify your holy name. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining us as we celebrate our covenant with our Father, everlasting covenant. This is our covenant Sunday. We're going to share communion together. And thank you, those of you that are right here in this sanctuary. I don't know how you made it in with all that terrible weather out there. I know it's really horrible. And when you go back, especially those of you from very far west side of Cleveland, Akron, and, you know, from everywhere, really, please drive safely. Please drive very, go slowly. You know how it is. Drive winter driving. There's no hurry. Just take your time, inch by inch, right, until the Lord gets you home. Amen. Amen. And the Lord will get you home. Amen. You will arrive home safely in the name of the Lord Jesus. There will be no mishap. You have peace on every side. Remember, when you rise up, you have peace. When you lie down, you have peace. When you go out, you have peace. When you come back in, you have peace. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's spend some time in the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's Covenant Sunday. We want to celebrate our everlasting covenant with our Father. I want to just spend a few minutes here and minister on the everlasting covenant that we have and Jesus, who is our high priest. Amen. But let's take our 2025 confession together. Amen. Glory to God. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and a pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet with long life. He satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please be seated in the Lord's presence. Let's spend a little bit of time in the Word of God as we celebrate our everlasting covenant with God. Let's start out from Isaiah 55 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Woo. Isaiah 55 and verse 3. You've heard me say this before. You know, I get very excited. Necessarily excited when I talk about the covenant. It's one of my foremost principles in the Word of God to minister on. I have uncontained excitement when I minister about God's covenant with us. It's truly amazing. And so you, over the years, you've heard a lot of messages out of this pulpit on the covenant, but you're going to keep hearing it, right? Because this is an everlasting covenant with God. And it's so rich. It's so rich. I want to encourage you. I know we've loaded you up with so many words, so many tasks, books, devotionals, and all of these different things. It's been a very intense time in the world. The Lord has really blessed us. We've been so blessed. Praise God. So I'm very careful to not overload you with knowledge, because, you know, it's not about letters. It's really about revelation, knowing God more. Amen. But honestly, if you do have a yearning in your heart, if you are hungry to learn more, a lot more about the covenant, God's covenant and how it works. One of the things I'm going to challenge you to do later in the year, right? You know, every month we have Covenant Sunday, so yeah, we're going to come back by God's grace every month and we're going to talk about covenants, right? You already know that. It's one Sunday every month. This has happened now for many years. Almost, I don't know, more than 20 years. One Sunday every month in this ministry is devoted to talking about our covenant with God. It's amazing. So I want to encourage you later in the year, if you are able to, if you have a desire, you have a quest and a hunger, it's not an assignment, but I'm encouraging you to. One of the books in the Bible, in the New Testament, that is more challenging for most believers to really, really get into very much is the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is loaded with just instructions about the covenant. And the book of Hebrews is not one of the books of the Bible. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the faint-hearted. The book of Hebrews is one of those books that you have to pace yourself, and you have to patiently eat it, slowly digest it, get all that it has. But I do guarantee you, the more comfortable you get with studying and meditating in the book of Hebrews, the more personal your covenant with God will become to you. The more conversant you get with the book of Hebrews, the more comfortable. You know, it's not one of the books you can study and just, you want to study just for head knowledge. Mm-mm. A lot of it will pass over your head without you being able to get it. It's one of those kind of books where you need the Holy Spirit. Patiently, quietly, slowly, you need to digest. The book of Hebrews is not one of those that we preachers preach a lot on. I mean, most of our sermons, we don't usually preach on the book of Hebrews, because it's a little bit advanced. And it's difficult. I think most preachers generally, you're not trying to just preach for the sake of preaching. You want to preach so people have understanding, so people can receive. So I think most of us do our best to minister things that are simple, easy to understand and grasp. However, at some point, we do have to encourage our people to step up, right? And one of the ways you step up as a student of the Bible, a student of the New Testament, if you really want to grow in the things, in the eternal things of God, you can't do it without the revelation in the book of Hebrews. You can't. You know, the book of Hebrews, that's where, you know, Paul was saying, it was written by Paul, even though in many places it's not really direct, you don't hear a reference, but it was, most theologians believe and agree that it was Paul who wrote the letter to the Hebrews. And in one of the letters that Peter wrote, he was referencing some of Paul's writings in the book of Hebrews. And he described this as, he says, you know, some of the things that Paul wrote that are a little difficult to understand. That's the way he described it. And he didn't say it was impossible to understand them. But he said they are sometimes a little difficult, a little like they just require a little bit more. In the book of Hebrews, that's where you see where there's a particular scripture there, I think is Hebrews chapter 5, where Paul was saying to them, it's time to leave. Let's look for that scripture, actually. I wasn't planning this. It's not part of my message. I just want to show it to you. So, you know, do with it whatever the Holy Spirit gives you, but just don't put it on account of my message. It's not my message today. Don't say you've already preached. No, that's not my message. I'm just showing you this one. It's Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 1. Look at it. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands. And part of what he's saying, and then if you go back in chapter 5 of Hebrews, you see in verse 11, where he says, of whom we have many things. Now he's talking about Jesus, our high priest, called of God in verse 10, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. In verse 11, he says, of whom we have many things to say. Watch this now. Of whom we have many things to say and had to be uttered. Why? Seeing you are dull of hearing. This is where he was writing to the church. And then in verse 12, he says, for when the time that you should be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses meat, it's not saying milk is bad. It's not saying milk is bad. He's just saying a time comes when you ought to want more than milk. If a 20-year-old is still living every day on breast milk, you know there's a problem with that. You know that. If a 20-year-old is still living like a little baby that was born 3 months ago, you know that is a huge problem. And this is what Paul is saying. I remember one of the messages I preached several years ago. It made me a lot of enemies. I don't know why, but you know, like just like many messages I've preached that have made me a lot of enemies. This one was particularly challenging because the title of this series of message was "It's Time to Grow Up." It's time to grow up. And some of the people that I was ministering these messages to were like, no, we don't want to grow up. So, you know, if you're going to work together with someone and the two of you want to go in the same direction, and one says, this is the way we are going, and the other says, but I don't want to go that way, then you are going to have to break up. You are going to have to break up. Because two can't work together unless they agree. Right? So it's also one of the reasons why it's really challenging to dwell around some of the things in the book of Hebrews. So these people said, many of them, they had been in church for years and years. Many of them were called pastors and called ministers, and they were called this and called that. And you know, when I looked at the things they did, I thought, this is just childish. This is childish. I remember one time one of the pastors came. They didn't give an offering during the service, during the week. But while I was in the office during the week, they came and knocked on the door. They came to give me their tithe. And they made this a practice. And after a while, I started thinking, there's something wrong with this. Why are you not, when you were all gathered together in the service, put your tithe in there. If it's tithe, It's a different thing. If it's first fruits, if it's things like that, yeah, that's given directly to the priest as the instruction in the word of God, right? Things like or some offering or a special offering that's for something unique or sacrificial seed or a pledge or something. Yeah, you can do that. Hand that over to the priest, yes. But tithe and offering, that's why we give a whole section. How many minutes did Pastor Tinu take this morning in taking tithe and offering? She ministered. It's almost a full message. Did you notice that? And that's just to prepare so that we're giving with faith. We're giving out of our spirit. And we do this every Sunday, whoever ministers, right? Last Sunday, Pastor Muyiwa did a great one before Deacon Kermit ministered on habitual fellowship with God. Awesome. Glory to God. Awesome. Awesome service. But this person kept coming regularly during the week. And they would open the thing, and give me the check and ask me to pray over it. You know, so I think there was something with them and something that maybe they thought they wanted the Lord to do with their tithe and all of that. But then after a while, I started challenging them. I said, you know what? Just put it in the offering during the service. You don't have to come all the way just for that. Just put it in the offering. And then they stopped coming to church. And that was it. Never came back to church. And I know many people would have looked and said, this sister used to come to church. She was a very fervent, committed person. But I just challenged her to grow up. That's all. That's all. It's just nothing. I just challenged her to grow up. Right? And then there's offense. Right? And that offense in itself is evidence of childishness. If you get offended because somebody says something to you or somebody acts some way to you and you know, out of your offense, you stop worshiping, you stop giving, you stop serving, it shows you are really a baby. Amen. So these are some of the reasons why I know it's difficult to minister on things like this. If you look in most churches, it's a lot of just cribs. People are in the baby crib all the time. Because people just like to be babied. And the moment you start, the moment you start kind of raising the temperature a little bit and start demanding that people step up and do more, is a big challenge. Many people will say, I don't want more. I don't want to do more. I'm satisfied with my life. Don't challenge me to do more. I mean, for all you know, some people are going to be babies until Jesus comes. 50 years in the church and they'll still be babies. But that will not be you. Amen. In abundant life, that's not what we are doing. Right? None of us is going to be young forever. Right? You see me like this? I've been preaching this for almost 40 years. I'm not going to be young forever. And I'm counting days. I'm counting days. And I'm looking down the road. And I'm having conversations with the Lord. Right? Several years ago, I sat down. I had to go conduct a funeral ceremony with one of our ministers here, whose mother died. And I sat down. I was conducting the funeral ceremony, but I had to sit on the altar with another pastor who told me he's 85 years old. He pastored for about 70 something years. And so, of course, I did a lot, but there are some of the traditional things that, I asked him to do. And he did, and he was very gracious. But when I meet older ministers, I talk to them a lot, and I started asking him questions. Just because I want to learn. I love knowledge. I ask a lot of questions so I can gain a lot of knowledge. If you stay around me, I'll ask you a lot of questions. Because I want to learn. And I started asking him a few things. 85 years old, was a pastor for more than 60 years. And I asked him, do you have any regrets? He said, yes. He said he wished he prepared better for the future. He said he wished he prepared better. So you know, you have to think. You can't be a child forever. Any pastor who is not raising other pastors, what are you doing? You can't pastor forever. None of us. I mean, we're so graced, so blessed with health, youth, everything we need, we have. But this is not going to be like this forever. You have to think. Parents, you have to think. Children have to grow up. We can't baby our children forever. We have to put a demand on them to step up. They may not like it, but we have to challenge them and encourage them. I'm not putting any pressure on you. I just need you to grow up. Remember when Edie was very young, I used to add 2 years to his age every year, you know. When he was 12, I said, aren't you 14? He said, no, Dad, I'm 12. I said, really? I thought you were 14. I always had a dream just to have him grow up. It's time to grow up. Tell your neighbor, say, it's time to grow up. So the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, if you spend some time there, do it later in the year. Don't do it now. And take it slowly. There's a lot that the Holy Spirit can reveal to you there. Help you in your spiritual growth, especially your understanding and revelation of the covenant. Amen. It's amazing to me. Jesus raised 12, and those 12 changed the world. That became my motto, my blueprint. It's the blueprint I'm working with. I don't need 5,000. I don't need 20,000. I need 12. And I'm working on getting that 12 all over the world. Amen. So watch me. Everything I'm doing, I'm working towards raising 12 all over the world. Once I have 12 all over the world, my job is almost done. Because that 12 will change the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So in the book of Hebrews, well, let's start from Isaiah. Were we in Isaiah 55, verse 3? Forgive me for all these extras. I just love you guys. I like telling you stories, right? Some of these stories I don't think you need, but, you know, it's just good. You may remember them someday, and they may bless you. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear. And your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. We have an everlasting covenant with God. Our covenant is worth celebrating. The greatest gift God gave us is Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, read it with me, so that whosoever believes in him should what? Not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. That's covenant right there. And when Jesus came, he shared God's covenant with us so that we can become like him. You see a lot of this in the first two chapters of Hebrews. Starts talking about how he came into the world to make us like him. God's dream was to make each of us like Jesus. Because if God can make each of us like Jesus, his covenant can spread through the earth. Look at it. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Then you go back a little bit. Go to Isaiah 54. And let's read that. Let's read that from verse 8. In a little In the little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, saith the Lord your Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills will be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on you. Notice in that scripture, in the verse before, he talks about my kindness. My kindness will not depart from you. It's an everlasting covenant. Amen. Amen. The covenant that God has with us, his people, is an everlasting covenant. For the mountains shall depart, the hills will be removed, but my kindness will not depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that had mercy on you. Neither shall my covenant of peace, the covenant of my peace. And then also, of course, he says in verse 13, and all your children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. All your children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. You see, when your children are taught by the Lord, their peace will be great. When you are taught by the Lord, your peace will be great. This shalom that God is talking to us about does not come from the world. This shalom, the world can't give it to us. Because if the world gives it to you, the world will take it back. This shalom comes from God. It comes, remember when Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. What scripture is that? John 14, right? John 14, verse 1 and verse 27. First, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter what you hear, no matter what you see, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be, watch it now, verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he goes in verse 27 in the Amplified. Let's read this from the Amplified. He says, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Mm-mm, don't let that happen to you. You have God's covenant of peace. He has given you his peace. His peace he has bequeathed to you. He has given you as your inheritance. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah. And this happens through the covenant. This is directly. See where he talks about the covenant of peace in Isaiah 54? This is directly connected to your covenant with God. Yeah. So bear with me. Go back there to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at verse 20. This is a scripture we started the year with, but look at it again. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 and 21. Look at what it says first in the King James. Thank you. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood. Watch this now. See, the peace is directly connected to the covenant. Amen. The peace. See, his peace flows through the covenant. Yeah. It flows through the blood. Watch. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Go to the next verse. May he make you perfect. Amen. In every good work. Amen. To do his will. Amen. working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Make you perfect. Let's read this from the Amplified. You've seen this before, but let's just read it one more time. Hallelujah. Now, may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed, ratified the everlasting agreement, the covenant, the testament, may he strengthen you. See, notice, he's going to do it through the covenant. And who is the high priest of this new covenant? It's Jesus. It's through the everlasting covenant made now through Jesus. Let me say that as I go. I don't want to go too much into that right now. Strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be. Amen. Make you what you ought to be and equip you with everything good. Woo! Equip you with everything good. There's some good things that the Lord has in store. Equip you with everything good. How many people will say peace is good? Someone say peace is good. I want peace. Peace is good. How about love? Somebody say, love is good. I want love. How about favor? Favor is good. I want favor. How about mercy? Mercy is good. I want mercy. How about wisdom? Uncommon wisdom. Uncommon wisdom is good. I want uncommon wisdom. Everything good flows through the covenant. Everything good. Oh, this is one of the reasons I get overjoyed. Talking about the covenant. The covenant carries everything. Amen. The covenant carries everything. The covenant carries everything. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the everlasting covenant that God made with Abraham and David. Jesus is the fulfillment of the everlasting covenant that God made with Abraham and David. And Jesus is the high priest of the new covenant. What does Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 and 14 say? Let's read this in the King James. Christ has redeemed us. You know this scripture. I just want us to read a number of scriptures I'm reading today before I close. You know many of them. I just want us to read them because we are celebrating our everlasting covenant. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus is the fulfillment of the everlasting covenant that God made with Abraham and David. And Jesus is the high priest of this new covenant. Above everything else, Satan is terrified of your new covenant with God through Christ. Above everything else, Satan is terrified of your new covenant with God through Christ. He hates the fact that you will inherit the blessings of Abraham and the sure mercies of David. You alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You alone, you will inherit the blessings of Abraham and the sure mercies of David. You alone. He hates it. Do you know what the blessing of Abraham was? Do you know what the... He hates it that you alone... Somebody say with me, me alone. I will inherit. In fact, make it a confession of faith. I have inherited the blessing of Abraham and the sure mercies of David. Let's say one more time. Say, me alone, me, by myself. I have inherited the blessing of Abraham and the sure mercies of David. I mean, look at this. You are overloaded, my friends. Yes. You are overloaded. You are overloaded with goodness. Woo! Woo! Oh, no. Hallelujah. You alone. You know that song in our devotional? People, they ask me, say, waiting, they make you smile. I just they tell them, say, now Jesus, they make me shine. I just they tell them, say, now Jesus, they... Is Jesus, oh? Is Jesus? Is Jesus. Everything you see, everything good that you see is Jesus. Is Jesus. It's no human, it's not somebody we know somewhere, no someone you are connected to. So no, it's Jesus, oh? Is Jesus. Tell them, it's Jesus. If anybody ever asks you, tell them, is Jesus. The secret is Jesus. The secret is Jesus. And the way it came is through the covenant. It's through the covenant. You know what it says in Psalm 25? I think it's verse 12. I'm not sure. Something about... I think it's verse 12. Put that up for me. Let's take a break from Galatians. God bless you. Psalms 25 verse 12, look at it. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Go on to the next verse. Go on to the next verse. His soul shall dwell at rest. His seed shall inherit the earth. Go on to the next verse. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will do what? He will show them. He will show them. He said, put that verse 14 in the Amplified. Put it up. Hallelujah. The secret of the Lord. Look at this. The secret. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord. Have they who fear him, who revere him, who worship him. And he will show them his covenant and reveal to them his deep inner meaning. He will show them his covenant. Everything good is in the covenant. My friend, peace is in the covenant. Favor is in the covenant. Longevity is in the covenant. Wisdom is in the covenant. Breakthrough is in the covenant. Promotion is in the covenant. Long life, prosperity, favor, wealth, treasure. Everything is in the covenant. Everything is in the covenant. Everything good. Everything good. Say it again. Say, me by myself. Me alone. I have inherited the blessing of Abraham and the sure mercies of David. Do you know what the blessing of Abraham was? Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Quick. Let's read. Thank you, Moriah. Put those scriptures up for me. Let's read those quickly. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. My time is running here. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country and from your kindred, and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. This is the blessing of Abraham. This is what you have inherited. And I will make of you a great nation. That's you. You are a great nation. Amen. This is why Satan hates. Satan does. He can't stand for you to understand this covenant. Amen. I tell you, if you get a hold of this covenant, it is a game changer. Forever, it is a game changer. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And then you will be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth be blessed. That's you. You by yourself. You've inherited that. Can you imagine how the devil feels about that? I mean, he's absolutely threatened that you have inherited that. Yes. You by yourself, you're a great nation. You by yourself, you're a blessing. Just look at yourself, you're a blessing. You're a blessing to the nations of the world. Eh? You by yourself. Put it up, Genesis 24 verse 1. And Abraham was old. This is the blessing of Abraham. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. If you inherit that, you cannot die young. You will not die young. Someone say, I'm not dying young. I can die young. I cannot die young. Because I inherited the blessing I have already with long. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, watch this, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. All. Somebody say all. Say all. Say all. Everything about Abraham was blessed. His life was blessed. His relationship with God was blessed. His mind was blessed. His emotions were blessed. His will was blessed. His psyche was blessed. His body was blessed. His family was blessed. His marriage was blessed. His children were blessed. His business was blessed. His ministry was blessed. His career, he was blessed in all things. Blessed in all things. That's what you inherited. Say it again, by myself. I have inherited the blessing of Abraham and the sure mercies of David. Okay. Do you know what the sure mercies of David are? 1 year, I think it was 2023. 1 year, we took almost the whole year studying something on this promise that God made to David. Put it up for me. 2 Samuel 23 verse 5 in the New Living Translation. Is it not? Some of you know this scripture. You read it so much over and over and over and over. Is it not my family that God has chosen? Yes. He has made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and my... That's what you have inherited. You by yourself, look what you have inherited. Sure mercies of David. By yourself, you have inherited that. You have inherited it. Read it one more time. Is it not my family God has chosen? He has made. Yes, he has made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and my success. That's yours. That's yours. That's what you have inherited. You inherited the ability to be pleasing to God. Yes. Acts chapter 13, verses 22 and 23. I'm going to close in just a couple of minutes so we can take communion. This is what you have inherited by this covenant. Acts chapter 13, verses 22 and 23. Hallelujah. Look at it. God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Let's read that in the King James. Thank you, Lord. And when he had removed him, He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Through this covenant, you have received the ability to be pleasing to God. Amen. The devil is so mad that you are pleasing to God. Amen. The devil is so mad that God will not be upset with you. The devil is so angered that God will never write you off. God will never say about you, forget it. Forget it. We can't do this together. God will never say it about you. He has everlasting kindness towards you. Everlasting mercy. Amen. Everlasting. His mercy towards you is everlasting. Yes. There is nothing you could ever do that would ever make God say, forget it, it's over. Forget it, it's over. Everlasting kindness. Amen. Everlasting mercy. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. That's what you have inherited. The ability to be pleasing to God. Amen. The ability to be pleasing to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read this last one. I want to go to Hebrews. You know, I thank God I took that time, which I didn't plan, to give you some preamble, because I have four scriptures in Hebrews that I will not get to today. The last one, I think I'll read one before we do communion together. But let's look in Psalms 89. This is the sure message of David now. Hallelujah. This is what you have inherited. This is yours. Glory to God. This is yours. This is yours. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sure mercies of David. Look at it. Psalm 89 from verse 20. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. I see, as you read all these things, you have inherited this. In fact, what I did in my Bible, I wish I could show it to you, but I can't show. Put your name there. Yes, good. Good. Put your name. I have found Kayode, my servant. That's what I put in my Bible. I didn't cancel David, because David is the root of it. But I put my name right on top, because I inherited the blessing too. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also will strengthen him. Hi. The enemy will not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore. And my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Hallelujah. Ooh. That's what you have inherited. That is what you have inherited. That is what you have inherited. The blessing of Abraham is yours. The sure mercies of David, they are yours. Hallelujah. They are yours. And so what do we do? What's the Lord calling us to do today as we take communion? Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Quick. Let's come before our high priest. Oh, glory to God. Let's take the good things that are in his hands for us. Every good thing that has been prepared for us, let's come and take them. Look at it in verse 14, Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I want you to read that in the Amplified, that verse 16. Let's close out there in verse 16 in the Amplified version. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near. This is how we are coming, fearlessly and confidently and boldly. We're not coming with our heads bowed. Oh, Father, please, if you can just give me some crumbs. You are not for crumbs. Crumb is not for you, and you are not for crumbs. You are a seed of Abraham. This is what you have inherited. Let us therefore come confidently, boldly, fearlessly unto the throne of grace. When you come boldly. Why? Because you have inherited the blessing of Abraham. You have a right to come. You have a right to come. Satan may say to you, how dare you? You are not perfect like Jesus. How can you come? Jesus can come, but you can't come. You are not perfect like those other Christians. And he will tell you some Christians who are perfect. He will point to them. But at the same time, he's pointing those perfect Christians to you. He's telling those perfect Christians that they are not perfect. He's telling, do you see this other perfect? That's exactly what he's doing. Now, we don't come because we are perfect. See, if we came because we were perfect, none of us could come. That's why we have a high priest. Do you know what high priest did in the Old Testament? They take blood, they take lambs that are without blemish, without stain. They bring them and they put them on the altar. It's not they don't put the people on the altar. They put a lamb, a sacrificial lamb that is without blemish. They put them on the altar. And then they put all the sins of the people on the lamb. And then once they put all the sins of the people on the lamb, God says, okay, atonement has happened. You can come. And all those people who used to have sins will come into the presence of God. Why? Because the high priest, he took all their sins and put it on the lamb. Now their sins don't exist anymore. When God looks at them, he doesn't see sin. He sees perfection. You know what Jesus did for us? He is our everlasting sacrifice. Hallelujah. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He himself is the high priest. He himself is the Lamb of God. He put himself on the altar. He took on the sins of all of humanity. And now, when God looks at you and when God looks at me, he doesn't see any sin. He sees perfection. And now, we can come boldly. We can come confidently. We can come fearlessly before the throne of grace, so that we can obtain help, every kind of help, any kind of help, help when we need it, help when we desire it. Hallelujah. Shout and give him praise. Shout and give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Shout and give the Lord praise. Thank you, Lord. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Look at it. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor towards sinners. So we were sinners, but somebody took our sin. The Lamb. Because the Lamb took our sin don't exist anymore. Hallelujah. When God looks at you now, he doesn't see sinner. He sees righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything good. Everything good. that we may, look at this, that we may receive mercy for our failure. Somebody has failure here today? Anyone? Online? Is there somebody dealing with any kind of failure in their lives? Hallelujah. The Lord is stretching out his hands towards you. Jesus took that failure. He's our sacrificial lamb. He took everything. He's our sacrificial lamb and he's our high priest. He made an everlasting covenant so that your failure will not be a hindrance to you coming before the presence of God. He said that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate grace, appropriate help, well-timed help coming just when we need it. Hallelujah. I want you to come, saints, boldly today before the throne of grace. Don't come with condemnation. I don't know if you have missed the mark. I don't know if you have failed. Maybe you slipped. Maybe you made a mistake. Or maybe you intentionally sinned against the Lord. Maybe you did intentionally, willfully sinned against the Lord. Well, this service was designed for you not to continue to willfully sin against the Lord as though we have a license to continue to do that. No, but for you to realize that Jesus became your sacrificial lamb so that every error in your life, every error in your past can be placed upon him and you can have access to the throne of grace. God is giving you a second chance this morning. This is not a message of condemnation. God has no business in condemning you. You heard in that scripture in Hebrews that we read, it says it's time to leave the first principles of repentance and I sinned yesterday, I sinned today, I sinned. It's time to get up to higher things. Yeah. When you are forgiven and when you are redeemed, you can't remain a baby and keep doing the same thing every day because he's your sacrificial lamb. No, let's leave that. Let's leave that behind us. And now let's go on to the higher things. But today the throne of grace is open to every man and to every woman. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are listening to this message from. But the throne of grace is open to you this moment, my friends. Jesus is right here at the altar with his arms widespread. Did you trip up? Were you displeasing to the Lord in any way? Did you fail to fulfill a commitment that you made? Was there something you did that made you feel like you are no longer acceptable before the Lord? The throne of grace is open to you today. The Lord is calling us to come. On account of our everlasting covenant that he has with us. Perhaps you haven't failed. Perhaps you haven't had any error in your life. Praise God for that. But maybe there's something you need right now, something you need to move forward into your future. This calling, this appeal, the Lord calling us, it's not just for sinners. It's also for the blessed. Maybe there's some new mercy you need in your life today. Maybe there's some new help you need. Maybe you need to take a step. And there's something in your way that you need to be removed. Maybe there's something that you know is a part of the promise that God has made to you that has not been fulfilled. And you want to see the fulfillment of that promise. That the throne of grace is open to you today. Wherever you are. As we get ready to take communion, this is so significant. It's our everlasting covenant with God. I want you to come boldly. I want you to come confidently. I want you to come fearlessly. For the benefit of those who need their sins put on the Lamb again so that they can come. I want to pray before we take communion. I want to pray for you. I want you to open your heart as the Lord is speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. I want you to open your heart and believe that God will do exactly what God has promised. That if you will come, He will not cast you out. So come. I want to lead you in a prayer right now. Wherever you are, maybe you've tripped up, maybe you failed, maybe you've disappointed God, maybe you've not been pleasing to Him, and something's not right in your life. Yeah. This altar call, this appeal is for you. Whether you are in person or whether you're virtual. Or maybe you've just been permanently not right. Maybe you're just a sinner, never giving your life to Christ. This appeal is for you. You can come today. Or maybe you've been saved. Or you've tripped up again and again. Been displeasing to the Lord. You know in your heart, you willfully sinned. You've committed error. Sometimes people trip up without knowing. But you know you tripped up. This appeal is for you. I want you to come. I want you to open your heart. I'm going to lead a prayer for the benefit of anyone in the house or virtual who needs help to come. And just with your open heart, pray this prayer with us. Father, today I come before you acknowledging my sin. I'm not a righteous man or woman. I haven't been pleasing to you. I've failed you. I've disappointed you. I've hurt the Holy Spirit. But today, I heard your message through your servant. He said the throne of grace is open. And I believe him. I repent of every sin, every foolishness, every failure, every way in which I've hurt you, every way in which I've disappointed you. Lord, I'm so sorry. I ask that you forgive me. Cleanse me today. He talked about the lamb on the altar that took our sin so that we became righteous. I want that lamb to take my sin so I can become righteous. Father, I thank you. I thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the Holy Spirit. I give you praise today. I have complete confidence that everything I need is in the throne of grace. So I come to receive help right now. I give you praise, O God. I bless and I magnify your name. Thank you, Lord, I'm forgiven. I'm justified. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. I give you the glory. I give you the praise. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name.